الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Respected elders and brothers in Islam, in the next few minutes inshallah, we will just discuss one very very important, the actual maqsad of coming here, why we have come for this Islah Jalsa, what is the meaning of Islah. And Islah in reality is nothing difficult, is nothing far-fetched. Sometimes many people in their mind, they have a certain concept of Islah and reformation and changing oneself and tasawwuf and all high words, and they get frightened. But what reformation Islah is to become a better person. Every one of us has got weaknesses, and how can we change that weaknesses, first realize that weaknesses and then become a better person. One thing is that many of us do not realize, firstly, that we are involved in wrong. So we have to change our mindset and understand our weaknesses. The number two is that many times we see a lot of benefit in certain things, but there is great, great harm for us in those things. And in those things which are beneficial for us, a person doesn't see goodness. Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi gave a beautiful example. This is a person who is in a boarding, who studies in a madrasa, for example, or university. He will understand as well. Your mother sends food for you, so you hide it away now in the locker, no one else must see it. And quietly at night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you can hear munching in the room. Lights are off, now you're eating nicely, it's your mother's food. So there was one youngster, his mother sent food for him. So he was walking past his friends, they saw the food. So he went, he locked it up in his locker, thinking at night he'll have a nice meal. These boys were very naughty, so they went to his locker, picked the lock, took out the food, and they took it away. They had a nice dawat, and they called him for the dawat also. And the youngsters, they say, you must bring a cold drink also. So he brought the cold drink also, thinking he's going for a dawat. And now he's sitting for the dawat, and he's eating nicely. And he goes at the end of the night, later on he goes back to his room, and he sees no food. He realized what a stupid fool I was. So he said, I'm going to show these boys a lesson. So the following week he goes to one shop, and he buys a whole nice big packet of food, and he brings it back again. And again the friend sees, say, we need another dawat again. So but this time what he does was, he bought a syringe, and he bought some nice Jamal Gota. I don't know if you all know what Jamal Gota is. It's a very strong laxative. They say you'll run to the toilet 15 times with it. So anyhow, he took the Jamal Gota and he took the syringe and he started injecting it. In all the food, he started putting that Jamal Gota. And now he put it back in his locker. So his friends came, opened the lock, took out the food, and they called him for a dawat again. He said, no, today I'm not feeling hungry. You all eat nicely. So they are sitting down now, all of them around the food, and they're enjoying themselves. It's very, very tasty. And 5 minutes later, one of them says, you can hear a gar 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 sound in the stomach. Now he's worried, hey, what's happening? He says, excuse me, I have to go to relieve myself. He woke up, he ran to the toilet. He's still sitting in the toilet, second person standing, he's banging on the door, open up, open up. Third person is running now, up and down, one is coming out, next one going inside, again he's knocking on the door, again his stomach is working. Whole day, whole night. The inspector of the varsity got worried. The principal, so he called the health inspector, please come and check up what's happening here. So they did their investigation, they found out, no, these people ate food, what? Jamal Gota. Now these youngsters, if you ask them, that if you knew there was poison, there was a Jamal Gota inside, would you have ever eaten that food? Outwardly it was very, very tasty. They enjoyed themselves for a few seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 1 hour, how long the taste lasts in their mouth? For a short while. But the whole night they had to suffer. They suffered the whole night. Similarly, there are many, many gunas and sins. They are very, very beautiful, very, very nice, outwardly. But the minute a person goes and eats from them, he gets that enjoyment for a few seconds. But then after that, whole life parishan, whole life worries, problems. he doesn't come out of that, and he lives a very, very straightened life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat of the Quran Sharif says that when you come out of these gunas and sins, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, you got success. And the person who goes in this life of guna and sin and filth and dirt, then this person got no enjoyment in life. He will enjoy himself definitely for a short while, for a few seconds. But then the problems he will go into, the difficulties he will go into, the worries he will go into, he will be upset, he won't feel nice. This is the exact result of this year. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you want success, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, your success lies not in outward things, not in your money, not in your wealth, not in your cars, not in the outward things you have got, but your success lies in your heart, what you have got in your heart. A person can be a multi-millionaire, but he's living a life of depression. And a person can be a pauper, but in his heart he's got something. He's living a life of great, great contentment. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Falah, Imam Raghib Isfahani was a very, very great scholar who had written a kitab on the meanings of the words of the Quran Sharif. So he says he got seven meanings, falah, success. Three in this world and four in the akhirat, in the year after. The one success you will get in this world, Allah will give you izzat. When a person makes tazkiyah, he purifies himself, he cures himself from all of these sicknesses, Allah will give him izzat and honor. You ever found a person going to a person who commits adultery, Hazrat, make dua for me. They'll no one say, Hazrat, make dua for me. A pious person, they'll carry his shoes. And a person who does zina, who does fornication, adultery, they'll take the shoes and knock him on his head. They'll be upset with him. No respect for such a person. Izzat and honor will come with deen. When a person has deen, why people go to awliya Allah, friends of Allah Ta'ala? They sacrifice their desires for Allah's pleasure. Allah honors them in the dunya. So first thing they will get izzat, honor. Number two, they will get ghina, happiness of the heart, contentment of the heart. Even though they don't have much money, but Allah will make them happy, rich in the heart. And number three, Allah will give them baqa. People will speak good of them, people will think good of them, people will respect them, honor them. When they pass away also, their children will think, good, my father was like this, what qualities he had. Generations later, people will think about him, that this man had this quality. So many times we read the stories, this Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, this Sahabi, this person, that person, because of qualities they had within themselves. So Allah Ta'ala keeps their name alive in the world, people respect and honor them. This is in the dunya, and in the akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him ilmun bila jahlin, knowledge without any ignorance. Allah will give him izzat bila dillin, honor without any disgrace and embarrassment. Allah will give him ghinan bila faqrin, such wealth and richness without any fear of poverty. In this world you can still fear, you will have poverty. But there Allah will give you such, you will never ever fear poverty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him baqa'un, forever and forever he will live with great, great enjoyment. So here, this is the benefit firstly. Every person wants to know, what's the benefit? What will I get if I make my tazkiyah, I make my islah? So this is what he will get, falah, success. In dunya also, in this world Allah will give him that izzat and that honor and that respect. And in akhirat also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him very, very high status and maqam. What must a person make islah of? What must a person reform? I will just give you a few examples. Otherwise islah is something, reformation is something. Throughout our whole life we have to continue making an effort. There is no time a person can say, now mashallah I made, I'm very good, I'm very pious. The person sitting here and speaking also, his own islah has to be made. He has to correct himself. There is no person who can say, I'm mustaghni, I'm independent of making my islah. We all need, and we are speaking, Allah give myself, firstly the tawfiq, we speak about our own weaknesses, that Allah gives us tawfiq to correct these things, and then every single one of us also, inshallah, benefits by means of this. So we will just mention a few sicknesses which are found in the community, very, very common, and how if we come out of them, what izzat and what honor and what benefits you will get in this dunya also and in akhirat also. The one sickness which is found in the whole world today, which Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, you can say he gave his life for this. And he used to say that people are involved in the sickness. And he said that if a person can control himself from the sickness of the love and lust of the woman of this world, then this person will become a very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will reach the highest levels of wilayat. And he said the means of this is to control one's gaze. And Hazrat, all his bayans, every bayan of his, you will see something about the gaze, looking after your gaze. Don't get involved in illicit love affairs, haram affairs. Do not ever get involved with women. You will just destroy your dunya, you will destroy your akhirat. So this was Hazrat's great fikr and concern. And he said, there are thousands of people drowning in the Atlantic Ocean of love. And my job is to actually take them out of this ocean and to save them. And throughout the world today, the sickness is so common. Every single person, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi says, that you can be a hadithab also, And nobody knows this guna and sin. It's between you and Allah. Inna Allah khabirun bima yasna'un. Allah is fully aware exactly of the actions which you are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Khabirun. Allah is fully aware exactly of how a person is using his eyes, how a person is walking on the street, and how his eyes are going around and around, looking this way, that way. His wife is walking with him, is lowering his gaze, acting now. Because his wife is standing next to him. Because he won't get supper that night if his wife finds out that this man is looking at the wrong woman. But Allah is fully aware exactly. No one is watching you now. You're all alone. 12 o'clock at night. You're sitting in front of your computer. And you are watching that screen. And you are doing work maybe. But suddenly one pop-up comes up there. And now a person goes into that there. So a person must remember, Inna Allah khabirun bima yasna'un. Allah is fully aware exactly how his mind is thinking, what he's thinking of. When a person is walking, he sees one person, one woman, and now mistakenly he saw also by the thoughts which come to his mind, evil thoughts, immoral thoughts. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi says that amongst men, very seldom you will find, maybe out of 100 men, you might find one man, or you find none of the men who don't get evil thoughts. But he says women, in the past that's what he was talking, that generally their nature is such, from amongst the chaste women, very seldom you'll get out of 100 also, one of them who gets evil thoughts. But today, unfortunately, the whole system has changed. Even the women folk, unfortunately, there is so much of encouragement is towards evil and immorality. That is why the Quran Sharif says, believers, you must lower your gaze. And Allah says, oh, believing woman, you also must lower your gazes. The men also have to lower their gazes. The females also have to lower their gazes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayat, قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Say to the believers, يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ They must lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ Protect their private parts. One great benefit, which our Buzrugs mentioned, as I mentioned the three benefits, izzat and honor Allah will give a person. When a person lowers his gaze, our Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sa'ad Awan Barakatuh mentioned that the first person who will notice this is a person's wife. And a person will have respect in the eyes of his wife. Today, most of the time, there is fights and there is problems in the marriage because a person is looking at haram. And now, because of that, the wife is upset with the husband and he says, what's wrong with you? And how many cases today, unfortunately, in many, many of our gatherings, men and women sitting together, laughing, joking, we are only friends. But we know exactly what is the thought of a person. If a person says, I'm sitting next to another woman, and there's nothing happening to me, then there's something wrong with you. You better go check yourself out by the Hakim Sahib. There's something wrong, you're not a man. Our Hazrat says so nicely, if a person takes butter, and he puts it next to fire, if that butter doesn't melt, then there's something wrong with that butter. It's not butter, it's plastic or something. But it can't be butter. Butter has to melt next to fire. If you take a man and you put him next to a woman, and the man doesn't melt, then there's something, he's not a man. He's plastic, he's something else. Automatically he's no melt. No matter how pious he can be. Shaitan said, if Rabia, Basriya, and Junaid Baghdadi in one room alone, I would blacken their faces. They start great awliya Allah. So where are me and you? So today many, many people, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, many people say, me, I talk to my secretary. I get no thoughts. My heart is very, very pure. Our hearts are clean. We make parda, our parda is of the heart. Not of the outside parda. We don't make parda in the heart. Our Buzrugs say, many men also, they say the beard, you must keep a beard. It's wajib, it's compulsory to keep a sunnah beard, full first length beard. They say we keep our beard in our heart. Don't judge me outside. Keep it. Hazrat used to say that people are having so many problems with their heart problems, angina. Now you're taking your poor beard also and stuffing it in the heart. The poor heart is definitely going to get blocked up. Don't put it inside there. The woman has to take a parda and put it over the heart. No, a parda, you take it outside. Your beard, you must take it outside. So anyhow, people say that, you know what, I don't get this desire. So Hazrat used to say that take that person's underwear and take it to the laboratory and go and do a checkup there and you'll find funny, funny things inside there. That person says, me, I don't get evil thoughts. No, this is a very, very big fitna. The greatest sheikh of the time. And he says that I want to speak to my female muridan. I want to speak to them without any parda, without any hijab. He is not a sheikh, he is a shaitan. He is a deceiver. How can a person say, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the end of his life, the laws of hijab applied to him. And he was so particular, he says himself that I never ever touched the hand of a ghair mahram woman. So when this is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so where am I and you? So one great benefit is when a person lowers his gaze, he protects his gaze, Allah will give him izzat and honor in the eyes of his wife. Secondly, our Buzrugs mentioned that Allah will give you the enjoyment of Jannah in this world already when a person starts lowering his gaze. And today we find, as I mentioned, many, many fights in the house, and one major reason is this year that we are not looking after our gazes. And there are many people who are not married as yet, and they also, they're watching all of these films, watching all of this pornography and all of this filth and dirt. One great harm of the chair is that a person gets no ghina, no happiness in his married life. Even a married person, he is watching all of that filth and dirt. Now when you are watching that, it's obvious your wife cannot be as beautiful as that woman. That woman, she's a lie, it's a deceit. She in real life also, she's not so beautiful. If you had to see her in real life, don't look at her. But if you had to see her in real life, you would see that she's not so beautiful. But they put a lot of makeup on her, all the lighting and the colouring and all of these things on his movies and his films. There was one person, he went to see one film. About 50 times he went to see the same film. So they told him, what's wrong with you? So many times you went to see this film. So he said, no, in the film there's one scene there. This one woman is dressed, undressing. And just before she undresses, the train goes past. So he said, I'm waiting for the day when the train comes late one day. So this, the sickness, it makes the person mad also. What and what people do, so stupid things. Just you can look at one woman. So this is a deception of shaitan. So when a person now, he lowers his gaze, Allah will give him that love and muhabbat at home. And when a person is looking at haram, there are many, many youngsters who get married. Now because they love the life of evil, looking at all that filth and dirt. Now obviously the woman who you are getting married to, she will not have that amount of beauty. So because you never looked after your gaze, now when you get married to her, you had started off on a high expectations. I was getting married to a whore of Jannah. And now you say, I got married to a witch. What happened here? There's a big story here. So if a person looked after his gaze, he didn't look at haram, then no matter what woman he gets, she will be a whore of Jannah for him. Because he was looking after his gaze. Our Buzrus mentioned this in another very, very beautiful way. They say that whatever is written for a person is his taqdeer. You will get so much. For example, money, you're going to get so much of money in your life. So they say, for example, if you're going to earn ₹1 million in your life, you will earn ₹1 million. But you got a choice to earn it in the halal way or in the haram way. If you want to go rob the bank, you steal ₹1 million, you got your ₹1 million. They lock you up in jail 20 years, you'll come out 20 years later, but you got your ₹1 million. Another person goes and he earns it in the halal way, he'll still get that ₹1 million. But you'll get that ₹1 million with izzat and with honor. They say similarly, the enjoyment you're going to get in your life is also written for you. But you got a choice to take it in the halal way or in the haram way. Now you are messing up your life, taking all this enjoyment now when you are young, or a person is married, taking enjoyment in haram ways, then obviously that enjoyment you will not get it in the halal way. He has lost it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taznu. Never ever make zina, never make fornication. And there are different levels of fornication, fornication of the eyes, fornication of the thoughts, fornication of the tongue, of the nose, the person is smelling someone walking past him, the ears listening to haram, and fornication of the feet, and then fornication of the private parts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taznu, don't ever make zina. فَتَذْهَبَ لَذَّةُ نِسَائِكُمْ. Otherwise the enjoyment of your woman will be snatched away. It will be taken away. Then a person says, I got no enjoyment at home. عِفُّ عَنِ النِّسَى تَعُفُّ نِسَائُكُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay away from other women. Your woman will remain chaste. بِرُّ أَبَاءَكُمْ تَبَرُّكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. You be kind and good to your parents. Your children will be good to you. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. As you do, so will be done upon you. So if a person lives a pure life, a chaste life, Allah will keep his wife chaste. Otherwise, many, many cases you get of a person, he is doing haram, and then day after he finds out his wife was doing haram also, he gets a shock of his life. How could my wife have done this? But he's not looking at his own life. So what the kind of person I was. So a person must look after himself, keep ourselves pure. So this is one level of islah, reformation, if we can learn to look after our gazes. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, a person is walking on the street, and a beautiful woman is walking past him. Or in our terms, a person is on the computer, and now one pop-up comes there, and there's a beautiful woman there. And now obviously, every single person has got the desire. Allah has placed this desire in his heart. And this is the examination. Allah wants to see whether you will pass or you will fail. Whether you are loyal or you are disloyal. So at that time, a person drops his gaze. He lowers his gaze. He puts the program off. He doesn't go on his WhatsApp. He turns the phone off. He turns the computer off. Or that woman is walking in this direction, he turns his direction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who, for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person the halawat of iman, the sweet taste of iman. Yajidu fi qalbihi. And he will actually feel and taste the sweetness and the halawat of iman in his heart. Like how a person tastes something sweet, this remains on the tongue only. But this halawat and sweet taste of iman, a person will taste it in his heart. And the ulama say that the heart is the place from where the blood flows throughout the body. When he will taste it in his heart, that enjoyment will run throughout the body of a person. A person will get extreme enjoyment. Then he will get enjoyment in Quran Sharif. Then he will get enjoyment in Salat. Then he will get enjoyment in the real things of this world. And he won't run after the small, small things of this world. One great benefit when a person lowers his gaze, this is in the dunya. Ulama say, at the time when a beautiful woman is walking past you, or you've got the chance and opportunity to do haram, At that time, it is their experience of the pious people. At that time, lower your gaze. And they say, at that time, whatever du'as a person makes, Allah readily accepts that person's du'as. So you make du'a, Ya Allah, give me somebody far better in Jannah. Somebody much, much more beautiful. And there's one saying of a tabi, he says that every time you lower your gaze from a haram, and in today's time, it's much, much more. In those times, there was very, very little bepardagi, very few people without parda. Today, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Allah is giving out, dishing out the certificates of the halawat of Iman, the certificates of the taste of Iman. Allah is giving you the certificates of Iman. And this halawat of Iman means, inshallah, a person will leave this world with Iman. As I say, Allah is giving it out, dishing it out in South Africa, in Reunion, in America, in Britain, in all the countries, the Western countries, where there is so much of, not only bepardagi, but there is oryani, there is nakedness, how the women are walking around. Allah is giving this thing out. So when a person lowers his gaze, he will get the halawat of Iman. And the Atabi most likely said that every time you lower your gaze, then one four of Jannah will be created for you. So imagine what a great bounty a person gets, one four of Jannah every time he's lowering his gaze. So just think to yourself, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, what a stupid sickness this is. A person is looking at that woman and there is no real benefit. He will look at her. If she is really pretty, he says both ways, he'll have hasrat and sadness. If she is very, very pretty, he will say, ah, if only I could get this woman. You're not going to get her. And if she's ugly looking, you'll say, ah, why I even looked at her? She's so ugly. So he says both ways, you're not going to get her. So what's the benefit of looking? But a person lowered his gaze. I can't look at this haram woman. And one four of Jannah is made for him. Whatever du'as he makes at that moment, make your du'as. And it's difficult. Nobody says it's easy. This is the examination. And our Buzruf say, when a person breaks his heart for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ranks of wilayat, how close he gets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only he himself will know what enjoyment he gets in his heart. And when a person broke his heart for Allah's pleasure, he left that haram woman, that haram gaze, that haram looking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was one Layla, one beautiful woman of this world. Allah was giving the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of 1 million Laylas, 1 million women, 1 billion women in the world. What enjoyment Allah was putting in that person's heart. So Allah is taking away the temporary enjoyments of this world. Allah is testing you with that. Will you leave it aside for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah will give to a person? So this is just one level of our Islam and reformation which needs to be done. A person has to make effort upon this year. How can he lower his gaze, abstain from haram, never ever get involved in an illicit love affair, illicit haram action. Our Buzruf say that when a person gets involved with a woman, then his heart turns away 180 degrees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally they say it turns away 90 degrees. It's very easy to bring it back again. But here the heart turns away 180 degrees away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody can ever feel like, I'm okay, I'm safe. Great, great awliya Allah also, they fell down. And not only with young girls, even young boys. This is a big fitna also, it happens. Homosexuality today, many people, they say also that I've got attraction towards men. There is nothing wrong if a person has got attraction towards men. This is natural. It's not his own ability and capability. He never put it inside there. Allah put that attraction. But why did Allah put that attraction? To test him. To see when he will fulfill his desires or not. If you've got the attraction, a person must fight against the nafs. Fight against the desires. Just like how he's got attraction for women. He fights against himself and he goes against his nafs. And the main thing is go to your sheikh, spiritual guide. Ask him that how can I come out of this sickness which I have got. And inshallah he will guide a person in this line. So this is one sickness which a person has to make islah, he has to reform himself, protect ourselves. And I guarantee you, my dear brothers, if we just go away with this lesson that I must learn to control my gaze, first thing, get rid of the television in our houses. That filth and dirt, when a person is watching all of the dirt and filth, how can he ever have enjoyment with his wife? He's looking at his wife, but he's not getting that enjoyment. Because now he's sitting and fantasizing and thinking about that other woman, that woman, that newsreader or that sports player, how beautiful she looked. And now my wife, she's got no figure at all. She doesn't look at all so nice. There's no attraction in her. So that television was, it actually destroyed your life. It is actually a deception. A person is looking at that, and like how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect, a time will come close to Qiyamah when Dajjal will come. And one of his fitnas is he will show people Jahannam. And he will say, this is Jahannam. But whoever will jump in that Jahannam, he will find Jannat in there. And on the other hand, he will show people Jannat. And whoever will jump in there, they will find the fire of Jahannam. One meaning can be, for example, a television. A person sees that this is the life of the Western people. You follow this life, you have how many women you want, you have fulfill every desire of yours, do what you want to, you are getting into Jannat. But the person who jumps in that life, he finds the fire of Jahannam there. No happiness in that person's life. He is committing suicide, he wants to commit suicide. Parishani and worries upon worries. How many people, they say, I had gold at home, and I got involved with a woman. And for a few seconds of enjoyment, then a person destroys his whole married life. And he makes himself a stupid fool. He is disgraced and embarrassed. No one wants to see him after that day. And for what? What benefit did he get from there? Allah protect myself and every single one of us from the evil of our nafs. A person can be a big alim also. A person can be a big Sufi, a big tablighi, a big sheikh. Shaitan, how he deceives a person. A person himself is shocked how shaitan deceives the person. So this is one guna and sin which many of us are involved in. And this is what is Islah. That how can we reform ourselves, come out of this evil, this immorality, this immodesty we are living in. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You purify yourself from that. You got falah, you got success. Already enjoyment in this world Allah will give you. What Allah has got in Akhirat. Another sickness which is very, very common, which yesterday also after Asr Salah, Mufti Muhammad Desai Sahib, down Barakatum, spoke about, was that of anger. Anger also is very, very common. And anger, one reason of it is pride. There is an anger which is very, very good. A person must have anger within himself to get angry when the commands of Allah Ta'ala are broken. When somebody is attacking his family, to get angry, very, very important, very good, to defend his family, to defend his money. There's no problem with that, using anger. But a person becomes angry on the beloved people of his wife and children, and anger comes into a person. But a person has to learn how to control himself. This is also another level of Islam, what we have to change within ourselves. A person has to learn how to have the quality of hilm and forbearance. Otherwise, people, small things they are fighting. And the main reason is because of pride. A person has got this pride within himself. I can never be wrong. And what I say is right. I'm 100% right. And he's fighting with his own wife in the house now. And she is arguing. He is arguing. And the whole house is blowing up with big flames of fire. And it's no benefit at all. The children are crying. They are seeing their parents. The married life is destroyed because of that. Many times a person gives his wife 3 talaq. And just blurts it out. And then he goes to the Mufti Sahab and he says, Mufti Sahab, please give me a fatwa that my nikah is not broken up. Mufti Sahab says, why you gave your wife 3 talaq, the nikah is broken, finished. He says, that's the problem with the Muftis, they break everyone's nikah up. It's not the poor Mufti Sahab's fault. The Mufti Sahab is giving you the fatwa, now you're putting the blame on the poor Mufti Sahab. And the Mufti Sahab will tell you, it's like a person took a gun and he shot his wife 3 times. And then you go down to him, you say, Mufti Sahab, give my wife a birth certificate. This is alive. You kill her, and then you put the blame on the Mufti Sahab. So we can't control our tongue. We can't control our anger. A person becomes angry. And sometimes how he hits his children, he leaves marks on their body. He can maybe hurt a limb, destroy a limb. There was one person in a neighboring country of South Africa, and he had bought a new car. And he brought it home to show his family. And when he brought it home, left it on the pavement, he went in the house. Very wealthy person. And his anger was within him, and the love of dunya was in his heart. The sickness. His small child, he was playing outside. What does a small child know? He had a piece of steel, metal, and he took it around the car, and he made a nice painting around the car. He scratched the whole car. When the father came out, he got a shock of his life, and he sees a big scratch on his car. So the car actually wasn't in the pavement. Actually, the car was in the heart of the father. The father was so upset, he took that metal piece, and he put it into his child's arm. Small child of 3-4 years old. Immediately, the things became septic. They rushed the child to hospital, and they had to amputate the whole arm. Now the father goes to the hospital, and he sees the child there, and the child says, Abba, I won't scratch your car, please give my arm back. Now the whole life that father has to look at his child and think, because of my anger, what did I do? And the love of dunya, what did I do? I destroyed the arm of my small child. And for the rest of that life, the child will also think about his father. One moment of anger, what he can do to a person. If a person hasn't learned how to control his anger, this is what Islah is, reformation. That a person, everyone has got anger, but a person has to learn how to control his anger. Slowly it comes into a person. Until such a level comes into a person gets the quality of hilm. Hilm means forbearance, tolerance. That now even somebody tells you something, you don't even become angry. One is you become angry and you control it. This is the first level. And then you go to a higher level, where a person tells you something, and you it's like nothing, I expected this from the person. This will come when a person gets true humility within himself. He feels I have nothing at all. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a person will get the ranks of the person fasting the whole day and standing at night the whole night, that person who has got the quality of hilm, who has got the quality of forbearance, he brings this within himself, he will get a very, very high level in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that get high stages by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sahaba asked him, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will we get high stages? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are certain people who will try and break off ties from you. The family members try to break off ties. You join ties with them. Small, small things they will start arguing. Overlook. Never mind, I make you mad. I leave it out for Allah's pleasure. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَّدَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنُهُ. Whoever leaves out anything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a haram woman or so, or leaves out money for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give him something far, far better than that. In this dunya also, in this world also, Allah will give him better. So sometimes you leave out a little bit of money. Okay, they're fighting for 100,000 rand. Never mind, make him mark. I'd rather lose out that 100,000, but don't break the family ties. So you join the family ties, you are getting high, high stages in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَتُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَكْ. A person deprives you, he doesn't want to give you. But you got an open heart, you give that person. You assist that person. People are not they're not helping you, not assisting you, you are in problems. But now you got money Allah has given you. You say, you know that person, he never helped me, he never assisted me. No, no, you go and give that person. Make that person's heart happy. What stages you will get in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَتَحْلُمُ عَمَّنْ جَهَلَ عَلَيْكَ. And you have hilm and forbearance. Somebody does an action of jahalat upon you. Foolishness, ignorance. And this happens all the time in the house, where a wife tells the husband something. They say the only time the husband and wife must both be shouting is when there's a fire in the house. That's the only time both must be shouting. Otherwise, besides that, the one is shouting, the other one keeps quiet. And if the husband can learn how to control his anger, and the woman has to make noise, they have to shout, they have to tell the husband something. If they don't do it, there's something wrong in the house. That is, one person, he had problem with his wife. He got very, very angry. He said, let me go to the Khalifa of the time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and complain to him about my wife. So he went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He visits the house of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he hears inside Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's wife is shouting him. I say, hey, subhanAllah, this man can't control his own wife. Where is in the case? He solve my problem. So then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, going away, called him. He said, Hazrat, I came, I got a problem. My wife also, she's a bit rude to me. She tells me things in it. And I'm very upset with her, very angry with her. And I came here to ask you how I can solve the problem. And I see the same problem happening in your house. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, this is what we learned from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this woman, what sacrifices she is making for us. She's left her house for us. She's done so much for us. And now she's come in the house. She looked after my izzat and my honor. Whenever I've got my desire, she fulfills it, so I don't have to go towards haram. And number two, every day I come home, there's a lovely plate of food there. There's a lovely meal waiting for me. She does all the sacrifices. How many hours she is in the kitchen, she sacrifices for me. And I come and I just sit down and I eat. It takes 3 hours in the kitchen. It takes me 5 minutes to eat. I don't even say jazakallah after the day. So this is our ingratitude. This time I'm just adding my own masala to the story. Then number three, he says that my children, she looks after the children. She clothes them, she baths them, she looks after them. My clothing, in those times, she washes my clothing. And everything is ready when I come, I can wear my clothing. Or in today's time, she looks after the worker, tells the worker, she packs the clothing away in the cupboard. All of that work she does for me, she looks after my house. So then if she's got a right now, the old day she's in the house, she also gets frustrated, she wants to take out the frustration. So I'm the only person she can take it out upon. So when she got a right, this is a right of Naz. And our elders tell us also that this was the habit, even the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what high levels of piety they were. But sometimes they would take off with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. The one day, the one wife, most likely Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out. So the wife thought he was going to visit another wife. So she became upset. It's my night and he's going somebody else's house. So she locked the door. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes now, he's knocking, she says, stay outside. So he slept outside the whole night. Imagine it's me and you will break the door down and that poor woman will be finished. But how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us? That a person must have that amount of tolerance. Overlook. So this is her nature. She's naqisatul akal. She's got a weak mind. So if there are two naqisatul akal in the house, you also like a woman, then obviously there will be fights. But if a person can learn, may Allah give me tawfiq first, that we can bring the quality of hilm and forbearance within ourselves, that they will make actions of jahalat, ignorance upon us, but a person overlooks. And imagine how good it will be that if all of us go home and when we reach our houses and a wife sees something to us, and we keep quiet at that time. And the wife is waiting actually that my husband is going to start swearing, he's going to start saying something. And this husband came back, inshallah, this year 40 days, Ramzan, i'tikaf, we're going to get a full crowd here. Everyone's wife will send the husband, you must please go. There was one person, he went out in Jamaat. Actually, he was very angry with his wife. She made some food and the food wasn't right. He got very, very angry. He walked out of the house, there was a Jamaat in the masjid. 40 days, he said, sure, a point. Anyhow, he went 40 days. Now 40 days, you're cooking your own food. And now the food is not so tasty, what your wife was giving you. And now he's parashan, he's worried. No clothing, he has to wash his own clothing. So much of difficulty. He never in his life did all of these things. Now he came back after 40 days and he sat down. And said, the wife never makes very good food. She never knows it's coming back. It was very simple food, and the food wasn't right also. He sat down without a word of complaint, he ate the food and he made shukr to his wife. He went into the old mahalla. She made tashkil of all the wives. He was saying, your husband is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My husband, what a lesson he learned. He's got the quality within himself. So this is one quality which we have to learn. So these are just the two basic qualities of Islam, Reformation. One other one I will mention very, very quickly. One quality which we have in within ourselves is of the love of dunya. The love of dunya is in the heart of every person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. The love of this world is the root of every single evil. A person can be in salah also, but he's got the love of dunya. And now he's sitting in his namaz and he's thinking about his shop. One person asked once, they say in the marketplaces you must think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person said, that's impossible. How can you think of Allah in the marketplaces? So he said, okay, let me ask you, in the masjid, what do you think of in namaz? You say, I think of my shop. So you say, how you can think of a shop in namaz? So similarly, you must make certain effort upon yourself that when you're in the marketplaces, you must be thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to change our whole thinking, our whole mentality. And this is what Islam is, what Reformation is. So this love of this world, how it destroys people, fight, enmity, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith said, that tatanafasoon, that you people will start competing with one another. I must beat the other person. I must beat the other person. I must get more. And now a person wants more and more. He hasn't got this ability within himself to spend. By one very, very great ilaj and cure for the love of this dunya is a person must learn to spend. Spend money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend in good causes. By means of this, inshallah, a person will be saved from the love of the dunya. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tatanafasoon, you will start having, start competing with one another. And then this will lead you, ثُمَّ تَتَحَاسَدُونَ. Thereafter you will start having hasad and jealousy amongst yourselves. You will start hating your own brother also. The person who is another person next to you, you're an alim, he's another alim, he's got more status than you, you start having jealousy over him. He's a businessman, he's getting more customers now, you got jealousy. And now you start hatred for that person. One person, he went to Makkah Mukarramah, he was working in the European countries, he was a very big manager, so they call him in Makkah Mukarramah in Bin Dawood store, he must work there. So when he went there, he said, I was surprised by the qualities the Muslim people had. He was a Muslim person, but the people had here. He said there was another superstore which opened up right next to Bin Dawood. So they were opening up, so I got very angry. Said, how can these people open up to the shop next to our shop? Because now they should have opened somewhere else. Why must they open here? So when the bosses heard about this, they got angry with him. They said, what's wrong with you? Our road is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah is going to give us, Allah will definitely come to us. Not 1 cent more, not 1 cent less. So you must take your workers and you must go next door. You must help him to pack his shop. And also together with that, you must take food and meals and tea and everything until the shop is set up properly. So he said he was shocked that this is the Islamic teachings. My rose is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I have love of this dunya? They're running and you want to bring the other person down. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, love of this dunya comes in a person. You get tanafus, compete with one another. Then tahasud, jealousy comes in a person's heart. Then after what happens? Summa tatabaqadun, you start hating one another. And then summa tatadabarun, then you turn your backs upon one another. You don't want to see that person for the rest of your life. This and how the thing deceives a person, how it affects a person. All those people also, a person is leaving this world also is worried. One person was passing away, and now around his death, around his body was his four sons. So he said, Ahmad, his eyes were closed. Ahmad, Jiabba, Muhammad, Jiabba, Zubair, Jiabba, Talha, Jiabba. He said, all of you are here, who's in the dukan then? Who's in the shop? So even at the time of Maud, he's sitting now, he's wondering now, who's in the shop? And remember that love of this dunya is such a thing. At the time of death, whatever is in the heart of the person will come out. If the love of that haram woman was in your heart, at the time of death, that woman will come out. The love of that woman. And there are many people who left this world with kufr. One person was told to make tawbah. Say, I make tawbah of everything besides the love of this woman. I love this woman more than I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he passed away with words of kufr on his tongue. The love of that woman was in the heart. A person that love of money in this world, he's dying also on his dying moment. Say, read kalima. He said, I can't read kalima. 200 rand, 500 rand, 1,000 rand. He's talking about all his business deals. Whatever is in the heart of a person will come out at the time of death. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and save all of us. Amen. What is the procedure of this? Qad aflaha man tazakka. Allah says, the person who purifies himself, he is successful. How will he get this purification? Wa dhakara isma rabbihi. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can a person run after this woman of this world? How can he run after money? How can he have jealousy in his heart? How can he have all of this filth? Bring Allah in your heart. Make an effort to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the most beautiful. Allah is the most beloved. Bring Allah into a person's heart. And number two, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّي فَصَلَّى. When we will make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how will a person make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala? Normally we do it ourselves. There is not so much of barakah and blessings. When we stay in the company of the mashayikh, the buzrugani deen, they will teach us how you must make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get positive dhikr, what your person normally reads. And a negative dhikr, to stay away from guna and sin. So when a person joins positive and negative, then you get light. If you are only doing positive, you are only doing your dhikr, you are making tilawat of Quran, dhikr, you are not staying away from guna, then the light won't be created. Light will be created when you got positive and negative together. So if two are joined together, now you will see light coming out, anwara coming out. Life change is coming in your life. Change is coming in the life of other people. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّي فَصَلَّى. But Allah says, the problem is, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The problem is, you are giving preference to this worldly life. And you are looking at the enjoyments of this worldly life. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Remember, the life of Akhirat is far, far better, and it will remain forever and forever. How long is the life of Akhirat? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, he says, you take this whole world, but to make it easier for you all, just take this whole masjid. And he says, in this masjid we have birth seeds, small birth seeds in the whole masjid, full up. And every thousand years a bird comes and takes one seed away. So he asks the question, will the seeds ever come to an end? And the answer is yes. Those seeds will come to an end, but when will it come to an end? We can't even imagine, but it's a finite. It's something which is limited, the number of seeds in this masjid. But how long that will be? He says, imagine what is the life of Akhirat, the life of Jannat. For a short while of this world, 60, 70 years, you are giving preference to the life of Akhirat. There can't be a more stupid fool than that person. An intelligent person is he will control his desires. I'm living in this world for a short while. A person is writing an examination. And for 2 weeks you have to sacrifice, 1 week you have to sacrifice. After that you're going to get a top job, you'll be earning millions. You see your friends, they are playing. They say, no, don't worry about examinations, we'll pass, man. We don't have to worry. They are sitting, smoking, enjoying themselves. You break your desires, you don't sleep those nights. You make sacrifice. Only 1 week, day after I will enjoy myself for the rest of my life. So this is an examination we are living in this world. Very, very short time. And then we will enjoy ourselves for the rest, forever and forever. But we just have to learn to control ourselves. So Allah says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبَقَى إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. This was in the past kitabs also. And Allah Ta'ala has given it very, very clearly for all people of all times. That your success lies in your tazkiyah and purification of yourself. For this we need to go to spiritual doctors. There are many, many, alhamdulillah, in our country, mashayikh. And every person has got a different affinity, different person he feels inclined towards. So wherever we are living, wherever we are comfortable, go to the mashayikh of our area. Or wherever we are comfortable with, to make our islah. Build up our connection with them. And inshallah, a person will be shocked himself. You got a boil by your private part. Now you feel, if I go to the doctor, and I ask him, you say, take out your trouser, I feel embarrassed. So I'm going to keep with the boil. 10 years you're suffering with that boil. Now after 10 years you can't sleep at night, you're getting a headache, so you go to the doctor, eventually you are forced now. He gives you one tablet, you say, the small tablet will solve my problem. You say, take it for 1 week. 1 week you take the tablet, you see that whole boil is gone. Now you're better. So stupid I was, 10 years ago I should have come to the doctor. So we got the sicknesses of our eyes, we got the sicknesses of anger, we got all of these sicknesses. But we shy, how can I go to so and so person and tell him? The awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, they become happy when you go to them and tell them, I've got this sickness, because they can help and assist you. They realize this man has got talab in him. He's got desire, he wants to change himself. So they become more shafiq and more kind to him. If you go to the doctor and you tell him, you know me, my blood pressure is very good, my sugar is very good, everything. Say, why you came to me? You must come to me if you're sick. And then I'll charge you a nice fee also for your physical sicknesses. But spiritual sicknesses, inshallah, the mashayikh won't charge you any amount at all. They won't charge you, but they will get happy, they will make dua for you. That Allah must make your islah, make our islah. So what we have learned, inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. Every one of us must have fikr of our islah and reformation. I have to better myself. I've got many, many weaknesses within myself. No need to lose hope. No need to lose hope. If a person has got the fikr, Allah will make him reach the highest levels as long as he is trying and he is making effort towards it. And number two, join ourselves up with any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any buzruq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for our hearts have affinity with. And number three, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, by means of this, great islah and reformation will take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq and ability, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.